Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning message from Chesley Community Church. Thanks for joining us this morning. Perhaps you're just a regular attender of Chesley Community Church and you're not able to be with us this morning, or perhaps you're just dropping by on the internet. In any case, you're welcome. Before we get into the Word today, let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Lord, once again, we thank you for today. We thank you for our country, and we thank you for the freedom that we have to meet together, to worship together, to study your word together. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray that your Spirit would be connecting with our spirits today as we study. Lord, we know that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to make the word come alive, to help us to understand your truth, to convict us of places that we're falling away. And so, Lord, we pray that that ministry of the Spirit might be powerful in all of our hearts this morning. We pray for those who can't be with us because they're not feeling well, a problem with sickness, maybe a problem with anxiety or concern or another emotional ailment. And Lord, we just pray that your healing power would be there as they just sort of lift up their hearts and their hands by faith, believing that you're there to touch them, to minister to them, and to set them free. Bless your word as we share it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week in our series on the Holy Spirit, entitled The Pursuit of the Holy Spirit, we looked first at the way the Holy Spirit used ordinary folks to do extraordinary things in the Old Testament age. And then we moved ahead and we looked at some of the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah and how the Holy Spirit would be used in his life. And today we want to continue our study by looking at some very specific prophecies by the prophet of Joel. It's found in the second chapter of Joel. That's the book of Joel, beginning at verse 28. That's Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it reads as follows. Then after doing all of those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. This phrase, pour out, that is used here, is not a unique case. In fact, while it varies a little bit depending on which translation you're using, it's used over 50 times in the Bible. Consider this prophetic promise to Israel. It's found in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. That's Isaiah 44, 3. For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. And then we'll look at one more example from the book of Malachi. That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And there we read, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't be able to have enough room to take it in. Try me, put me to the test. So the verb pour here, in a practical sense, is simply used to describe, well, for example, how water might be transferred from a pitcher to a glass. But it is repeatedly used figuratively in Scripture to mean abundant measure. Sometimes it's contrasted with a verb that means limited measure. For example, in the sacrificial system, sometimes blood was sprinkled on an altar, and in other cases, it was poured. And so we can see the contrast between a limited application and a generous or abundant application. In the Old Testament, it could be argued that the Holy Spirit's ministry was sprinkled on a relatively few individuals throughout the Old Testament age. But now we see Joel and Isaiah predicting that there will be coming a time when the nature of the Holy Spirit's ministry will not only be cases of sprinkling, but also that of a pouring out, an abundant measure. You know, I'm glad as we live in the 21st century today, with all that's going on around us, I'm glad that when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you and I as believers, we live in an age of pouring out and not the age of sprinkling. We don't find ourselves in an age where the Holy Spirit is sprinkled on a few, but we live in an age where an outpouring of the Spirit is available to every believer. So the prophecy of Joel first predicts a change in ministry of the Holy Spirit from limitation to abundance, from sprinkling to pouring. But it also predicts a worldwide broadening of the recipients. The Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, or on all people, as the New Living Translation says. If you remember our previous study segments, every example we used involved a member of the Jewish nation. In the Messianic prophecies, we see that the good news, the salvation plan predicted to be coming with Jesus, was going to address not just the sins of the Jewish people, but the sin problem of the entire world, a broad, all-encompassing plan. For example, in Isaiah 53:6, Isaiah would write, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all," and we see the inclusion then of the plan of salvation. Now, in this case, Joel's making it clear that this new outpouring of the Spirit will match the scope of God's salvation plan. Salvation has been made available to all, and not only is there going to be abundant measure of the Holy Spirit, but that the coming outpouring of the Spirit is going to be available to all flesh or to all people. We should also note here that this outpouring will not make a distinction based on age or on gender or on class. The outpouring will be for both Jew and Gentile. It will be for men and women and for young and old. The Old Testament age was a time when everyone had their place. There were unspoken rules of do's and don'ts. For example, rules about what women could do and what women shouldn't do. Unspoken rules of do's and don'ts for young men, what they could do and what they shouldn't do. Unspoken rules for servants, do's and don'ts, what they could do and what they shouldn't do. There were strict rules concerning spiritual ministry. Rules about who could offer sacrifices and lead in worship activities in the temple. And for someone who had grown up in that age, grown up in that culture, this prediction of Joel's was really mind-boggling. Perhaps you could imagine some of the conversations that might have gone on when it was first heard. Why, Joel's even predicting that the Holy Spirit will be made available to the Gentiles. Yes, he is. And by the way, not with a sprinkling, but with an abundance. Why, Joel is even predicting that the Holy Spirit will be made available to women. Yes, he is. And by the way, not with a sprinkling, but with abundance. Why, Joel is even predicting that the Holy Spirit will be made available to servants. Well, yes, he is. And by the way, not with a sprinkling, but with an abundance. Yes, Joel predicted that there was coming a time when the Spirit would be poured out in abundance on all flesh. Joel also predicted that when the ministry of the Holy Spirit came in abundance, it would be obvious to those around. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Now, visions and dreams were one of the ways that the general public recognized the prophets of old. It's obvious to them that these men were prophets when they had visions and dreams. They, like Joel, were inspired by the Holy Spirit through visions and dreams, and this was evidence to those around that they were indeed prophets and had been influenced by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Joel here was using this as an example of how the Spirit would be manifested in the time of the predicted new outpouring. But it does not suggest that this would be the only way that the Spirit would be manifested. And we only need to look ahead to Acts chapter 2 to see that the manifestation would be considerably different in that case. So now we leave our Old Testament survey with Joel's prediction that there was coming a time when there would be an outpouring that would supersede the sprinkling typical of the Old Testament age. The question for the spiritually inquisitive of the Old Testament age was when? When will this prophecy of Joel's be fulfilled? Well, changing our thoughts just a little bit, today is the first Sunday of Advent, a time that marks on many church calendars the beginning of a period, a few weeks of anticipating the coming Messiah. Now, the exact timing of Joel's prophecy is uncertain, but it's estimated to be in the range of 800 years before Christ. Imagine, the spiritually inclined were hoping for the fulfillment of this prophecy for 800 years, an Advent period, anticipating a new powerful ministry of the Spirit lasting 800 years. Probably some would have lost hope, maybe given up on what the Lord had promised through Joel. But Jesus eventually does come, fulfilling Isaiah's messianic prophecies hundreds of years after they were given. And shortly after there, we see in Acts chapter 2, Peter clearly establishing that what the apostles experienced on that day of Pentecost was the beginning of what Joel had predicted. 800 years of waiting and anticipation coming to an end. Listen to Peter's words from Acts chapter 2, verse 16. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Peter realizes that the long-awaited day had arrived. And that day of Pentecost set down a historic milestone. 800 years of waiting and anticipating now culminated in the arrival of the Holy Spirit and a dramatic new dispensation of the Holy Spirit power. Life for the apostles would be different from that day on. Life for new believers who would come to Jesus would be different from that day on. And life for the church, life for you and I, would be different from that day on. Now, the next area that we want to examine in our study is the period of the New Testament prior to the day of Pentecost. So we've looked through the Old Testament, we've looked ahead to the day of Pentecost, and we just want to cover a little bit in between there from the opening of the New Testament to the day of Pentecost. And during this period, we see the Holy Spirit work in a number of ways and hints that Joel's predicted outpouring is imminent. So we're actually rapidly approaching Christmas now, so it would seem appropriate to spend some time examining how the Holy Spirit was involved in the New Testament characters that are an integral part of the Christmas story. So for our first reading, we go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. That's Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And there we see, once again, the Holy Spirit at work in a story that features divine creative powers. Matthew 1:18 says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. The critics of our world, many actually within Christian organizations, struggle with this statement. How can this be true? It can't be demonstrated scientifically, and so this doctrine is often jettisoned from their understanding of Christianity. But the reality is that our entire faith is built upon a premise that there is indeed a God who is capable of the supernatural, a God who is fully capable of supernatural creative acts, including life itself, As demonstrated in Adam and Eve, and even in non-living things like planets and stars. And the scriptures are consistent in showing that the Spirit was supernaturally present in the life of Jesus while here on earth, from his conception, which we have just read about, to his resurrection. Now perhaps when we're thinking about Christmas, we don't normally think of John the Baptist as part of the Christmas story. But at least his birth is indeed part of the miracles surrounding Christmas. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 16. That's Luke 1, verses 11 to 16. And we read there, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God." Another amazing supernatural birth story. Amazing that here is the Word of God stating that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even born. And now if we step ahead a bit to Luke chapter 1, verse 39, we find another interesting reference to the infilling of the Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And we read there, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So first of all, John, the baby within her womb, and Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit, the mother. Note too, and we'll come back to this in our New Testament study, that it was at a specific time, a specific event, when Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. She would remember the time. She would remember the place, probably, when she was filled with the Spirit. And please note in our Old Testament survey, all the examples that we found wherewith involved men being filled with the Spirit. Now, it's possible that there were women that are simply not recorded in the Scriptures, but perhaps this account of Elizabeth is a hint pointing to that day of Pentecost when Joel's prophecy would be fulfilled and the Spirit would be poured out on anyone in pursuit, a hint of the broadness and scope of this new outpouring of the Spirit. The next chapter we look at in this Christmas story is that of John's father, Zechariah. We pick up the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. This is quite a story, isn't it? First it's John, the baby in the womb, and then it's the mother Elizabeth, and now it's the father Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps another hint of this broad nature of the new outpouring of the Spirit. And so Zechariah says, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his promised servant David, just as he promised." And I just want you to note the verb tense in this prophecy. Has visited, redeemed, has sent, past tense verbs. Zechariah, by the Holy Spirit, is confirming that the Messiah has indeed arrived. The next part of our Christmas story is when Mary and Joseph would present the baby Jesus at the temple. We pick up the story in Luke chapter 2 at verse 25. At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." So once again, we see the Holy Spirit work in people's lives, and we see again the past tense confirming that the Messiah has indeed arrived. I have seen your salvation. And lastly for today, we move on to the baptism of Jesus. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Just want you to note here that the Spirit descends on Jesus. It's obvious to those around. Three of the gospel writers record this event. Isn't that an amazing pattern that we've seen through the Old Testament? And now in the New, that when the Spirit comes into someone's life, it's obvious to those around. And then we see that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. And so we leave our study for today once again asking this question. If the Holy Spirit was necessary for Jesus in order for him to complete his ministry, to complete the things that his Father had asked him to do, if the Holy Spirit played an important role in leading him and guiding him during his sojourn on earth, then shouldn't we be recognizing our need of the Spirit and pursuing more of his presence in our lives? Lord, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's true and reliable. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit can come into our lives, can fill us with your presence, fill us with the presence of the Holy Spirit, can anoint us, can empower us, can lead us, can guide us. We thank you for all of these promises that we see have been fulfilled in the prophecy of Joel. Bless your people as they go today. Keep them safe on the roads and safe from danger and harm. We bless your holy name. Well, thank you once again for joining us, and we look forward to being with you again next Sunday. God bless.